The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 2. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on Friday, the 1st of October, 2004 in East Chicago, USA. It is a continuation of the message he took at Faith Assembly the previous night, which we published as Part 1 of this message. However, the beginning part of this message is missing on the recording. It merely relates what had already been established in the previous message, and that is this: the revelation of Paul the Apostle, as he declared in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, is the basis and the only foundation upon which any man in the ministry of the bride at this end time will minister. It is an infallible platform. You cannot get away from it or reject it. It holds true for any ministry. It holds true for any man called into the ministry. It stands. It becomes the platform upon which any ministry, if it's going to be true, will function in ministry to God's people. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now look at verse 11. For of the foundation can no man lay. It doesn't matter whether an angel came to him. It don't matter whether he saw a pillar of fire. It does not matter whether a whole host of heaven came and he saw seven angels and he is sitting in the room their midst. No other foundation can be laid than that is laid. In other words, other than that which is already laid. And I ask, who laid it? Paul said, I laid the foundation, and it did not make Paul the Christ. But he nevertheless was the voice of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, because the Lord set him as a light to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth, that from the north to the south, east to west, the voice of Paul would constitute the voice of Jesus to the generation that dared to believe. Therefore he could say to the saints in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, follow me, not as I follow Christ. Although he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, so he followed Christ, but he said, follow me, as I also am of Christ. In other words, I'm his voice. My ministry truth characterizes his voice and projects his voice. Follow me then, as I also am of Christ. Now our church, Paul established a foundation, not only for the Gentile church but for the Gentile ministry, and every man that is called in the ministry for the Gentiles, in the early age, in the first church, was called and established upon the foundation that God used Brother Paul to establish. What is that foundation? It's a foundation of truth, the revelation of Jesus Christ in the fullness and to the measure that God gave it to him. So it's not Christ in his flesh that is that foundation. It is his revelation that is that foundation. But all that Christ gave in his flesh, which is written in the Gospels, is all what makes up the gospel plus those new revelations that God gave unto Apostle Paul. So he had all Jesus gave whilst he was here in his flesh, plus what the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in him, Paul, unveiled to God's people. And the full counsel God gave Paul therefore becomes the full gospel. And that which established, he established for all time. It's an infallible foundation. And any true ministry had to be planted upon the same foundation of truth. That is why Paul, in Ephesians verse 20, what did he say? Let's go there, from verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and a built, that's the church, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's not the New Testament prophets, because they had not even come into existence. That's the Old Testament prophets, who prophesied of the grace and the dispensation that was to come in Christ Jesus. And here came a man, Saul of Tarsus. God anointed him. He had the dealership of the Spirit of God. God took him to Arabia after a divine encounter on the way to Damascus. And the Spirit of God dealt with that man in a serious measure, and he came back and began to expand the truths of Christ to them that the Spirit of God would deal with their hearts, giving the Gentiles an understanding of God's plan of salvation, of God's saving grace that is expressed in Christ Jesus. And the Gentiles were saved by the gospel of Paul. And that's what he said, that God will save the Gentiles by my gospel. That was his acclamation. It was Paul's gospel. But yet the gospel of Paul was the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is no more here in his flesh to physically reveal himself to his people, but he is here in the Spirit as he is characterized, as he characterizes himself in the ministry set on the earth. He raised up a man, the star messenger to that age, to whom he gave profound revelations, and the revelation he held in his bosom was going to be the gospel whereby the Gentiles will be saved, and the only basis of their salvation, the foundation of truth, and the foundation for any ministry that will be true. That's why Paul could say to the Ephesians as well, as he wrote to the Corinthians, "We, the church, are built upon." It includes the ministry, the foundation of the apostles. Ephesians verse 20. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. Three keys there were, and those keys had to do with how the move of the gospel would go, first to the Jews, then to the Samaritans, and then to the Gentiles. And those keys had to do with the opening of the door for all these three races of people, Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles, into the kingdom of God. And it was his ministry that God was going to use to open the door of accessibility to the Spirit of life. He used it on the day of Pentecost. He used it in Samaria when he heard that Philip had preached the gospel to the Samaritans and they had been baptized. Brother Hefner, there was a revelation in those people, an understanding in the true ministry of the early church. You know what happened. Philip went to Samaria as led by the Spirit of God, and it was a challenging ministry he had, because he had a serious opposition in Samaria. There was a man who used sorcery, Sigmund the sorcerer. The Bible says that this man for a long time had deceived the whole people. He had bewitched them, from the old, from the king to the smallest. He was called the great power of God. Everybody revered him, and it was sorcery, but they attributed his power to God. Everybody loved and revered him. Everybody bowed to him and followed this man. What an opposition! And Philip had to come. He was an evangelist, and a true evangelist. But watch, how was he going to deliver a people that had been bound to a false ministry? It took the power of God. It took the anointing of the Spirit of Almighty God. And it took the power of revelation of the truth that Philip had. And I dare to say that that man, Philip, had an understanding of the plan of salvation and had the mind of the Spirit as to how God had set things in order. He was a man humble and submissive to follow the leadership of the Spirit and submit to the divine order that God set. Why do I say that, Brother David? That man went to Samaria in the face of a great opposition, Sigmund the sorcerer. You'll find that in the book of Acts chapter 8. Brother, he went there with the power of the gospel, and the word that he preached was so hot, it burned the hearts of the people, and the Spirit of God anointed it into the hearts of the people of God. God vindicated the truth he brought. The whole city was in uproar. A revival broke out in Samaria, until Sigmund the sorcerer himself had to realize, the God I serve is a false one. He came to be baptized. And what happened? The Bible says, the apostles heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and had been baptized in water in the name of Jesus. But they had not yet received the Spirit. And that is the essence of salvation. The very essence of salvation is the indwelling of the Spirit of life. But something happened. I believe that Philip, being a man in the early ministry, understood headship. They could see. They knew God's mind on how things were laid in order. And they followed divine order. They sent word to the apostles in Jerusalem that Samaria had now been touched. It was their turn. Peter, you have the keys, come down. And Peter knew and realized that it was the hour for the door to be opened. They had received the gospel, but they were yet to receive life. And Peter therefore went down to Samaria. Why? He had the key to unlock the door that would give access to the Samaritans into life. And the Bible says Peter went down and went to do one thing, open the door to the Spirit of life into the kingdom for them. And having been baptized by water, now they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. I ask you tonight, what wisdom moved Philip to know where to stop? What wisdom moved Philip to know where to stop and when the apostle who had the keys should come on the scene? What wisdom, what humility did they have that the ministry that is barraging the bride tonight don't have? What humility did they have that is lacking in these men who don't want correction? And Peter came and used the key. I want to say, Paul said something. There is no other foundation anybody can lay. The only foundation that can be laid has already been laid. alluded, that lets you know, once the door of accessibility to eternal life had been opened to the Gentiles, God using Peter again in Cornelius' house, in the upper coast of Caesarea area, the door of heaven being opened up, and the Gentiles came in, God raised up Paul, and from the time God sent him forth, the gospel came to the Gentiles in preeminence. The whole book of Acts was what? It was the history of the ministry of Paul. It followed Paul all through. It was about his life and ministry, and the revelation of truth he held. That's what you see in the book of Acts, from the time on. I have to say this, the revelation of truth Apostle Paul had was the plumb line. It was the standard for any man who would be in the ministry. You say, well, but brother, what of John the Beloved? He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was also an apostle. And you know, when Paul died, God used him, John, to step in and to lift up the standard. What about him? Well, I will take you to 1 John chapter 2. Here he was in defense of the gospel, in defense of truth, facing the opposition of false prophets, false preachers, denying that Jesus is the Christ, denying that he came in the flesh, making Jesus a theophany, like the Branham movement are doing tonight, that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross because God cannot die. And he stood against those people. What did they do? They went away. They broke away. What did John see? In 1 John chapter 2, what did John see? He said, they went away from us because they were not part of us. And he said, and you have heard, this is where I'm going. He said, you have heard that the Antichrist will come. He said, and now are the many Antichrists. What was he quoting? He was referring to Paul's revelation in 2 Thessalonians. What does that tell you? John himself, though an apostle, was also a man that was dealt with by the Spirit. And by the ministry of Apostle Paul, the man who had the counsel of Jesus for the Gentiles, and upon whose revelation the faith of the Gentiles was established. 1 John chapter 2, we'll take it from verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, it's the end time, and as ye have heard, from whom? From Paul, that Antichrist shall come. Who gave them the understanding? Paul. Who was he referring to? Apostle Paul. It was not even his own revelation. It was the revelation he got from the writings of Apostle Paul. Not even now are the many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. John was an apostle, but we can see that he also had an understanding of something he gained from the ministry of Paul. Because, don't forget, Paul was the man that was set as the apostle to the Gentiles. Therefore, he had to have the depth of understanding of the plan of salvation and of the revelation of truth that the faith of the Gentiles would anchor upon. And every man that God would raise up for the Gentile bride of Jesus in that early age had to be men that were dealt with by the Spirit upon the same foundation of faith that Paul established. Don't forget that. Every man in the ministry had to be a man who himself was planted, established, upon the foundation of faith that Paul the Apostle established. We've seen John. I will take you to Apollos. Apollos was a firebrand, but he only knew John the Baptist's ministry in Revelation. And that's how some people are today. Their testimony stops with Brother Branham, and they cannot see beyond that. They have no testimony when it relates to the apostolic ministry. Their testimony as ministers stops with Brother Branham. What a shame, Brother David. What a shame. I will say this, and I say this as humbly as I know how, because I am just your brother. I am nothing. I'm just your brother, and I don't say this to be smart. There will be no man. I don't care how young, I don't care how old, I don't care how long they've been in this ministry. There will be nobody minister to the bride who would not have the testimony of the apostolic light. He will not. Brother, your testimony will not stop with Brother Branham. Because Brother Branham has been gone for about 40 years. And if you have to stop where Brother Branham stopped, brothers and sisters, you will be blind tonight to the reality of the truths that Jesus has given the bride from the scriptures, through the apostolic ministry he has established over there at Faith Assembly. You would be blind to those realities and you cannot contest it, because the Bible has been opened up way beyond the things we received from the prophet of this day. I'm coming to that. But I'm saying this, everybody who will minister to the bride in that day and today, they were men, and they will be men, who were established and who bear not only what Brother Branham bore, they will be men that will be founded upon the apostolic continuity revelation. John the Baptist forever and Jesus Christ. Apollos knew only his truth. Then Jesus came. Before he could build his church, he had to pay the price. So the ministry Christ had when he was here on earth was given to a ministry of fivefolds. But in dealing with the Gentiles, he started with the fundamental one. He started with the apostolic fold. And he started with the chief of it all, that's Paul. That's the starting point of the ministry. That's the foundation layer. Are you with me? That's the guiding light. That's the ministry that shows the way for all other ministries and establishes the truth. So we can say, the ministry of Christ is in Paul. Are you with me? It is Christ in his principal apostolic ministry, apostolic body ministry, ministry to the body of believers. It was Christ in Paul revealing himself to his people, unveiling truth to his people. Are you with me? Doing the work of salvation by his Spirit, yet in the ministry of men. So, here we see also Brother Branham, who brought a truth to this day, but the truth he brought us 1965 could only go so far. But for the past near 40 years, we've been receiving dealership, more light has been shed. We've been going into deep things of God. Revelations have come out from the pages of the Bible. The Bible has been opened to a measure, much more than the measure we received from the prophet through the apostolic ministry. So we can say this, as Paul stood in relation to John the Baptist, so does Brother Jackson stand in relation to Brother Branham tonight, in terms of ministry, and in terms of the revelation of the scriptures we've received. But let's look at this man who was influenced by the ministry of John the Baptist. His name was Apollos. This man was a firebrand, like I said. You'll find it in the book of Acts chapter 18. And like our sister was testifying tonight. Sister, I want to say something along that line. Look at Apollos. Apollos was a firebrand, but he only knew to the measure God dealt with John. But God had moved on beyond that. Are you with me? He had not only given us Christ. The revelation of Christ in its continuity was being given by Paul. So, there was a lot he didn't know. He had to update his own revelation, and by updating his revelation, his testimony will be updated, because he will not stop with John the Baptist. It cannot stop with John. So, here, Priscilla and Aquila came on the scene. Aquila was not even a minister, but they were people that had been influenced by the ministry of Paul. They were converts of Apostle Paul. They had been dealt with through that ministry. And brother, through Paul's ministry, they had received an understanding, just as you and I tonight have received an understanding from Raymond Jackson concerning the scriptures of Jesus. That does not make Raymond Jackson our savior. I said, we've been dealt with by his ministry to give us an understanding of the scriptures of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation he's conveying. But follow me. The Bible says in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla, who were husband and wife, saw this brother preach, and he was like a firebrand, and they realized, if God could touch this brother and update his revelation, he would be a wonderful instrument for God's kingdom. Knowing that, they invited him into their house. Priscilla wasn't going around preaching. Even her husband was not even a preacher, even though they had a church that met in their house. Don't forget that. And church, they sat him down and bore testimony of what God had done in that hour, and of the truths they had received from a man called Saul of Tarsus. Are you with me? And when they began to talk, husband and wife bearing witness and testifying of the truths they received, and you can do the same thing with wisdom, now that man realized, God's been doing something and I didn't know. The man caught fire. The revelation of Paul that Aquila and Priscilla were testifying about, anchored in his soul. Brother, I can see him coming back after that meeting, finding hearing, and realizing God was touching her man. Aquila and Priscilla felt so privileged to be able to share their testimony, and they shared it until Apollos was settled in the truth of Christ they had received. Brother, What a wonderful instrument he, Apollos, was in the hand of God, and God used him in a wonderful way. But don't forget, what was he? A waterer. Waterer of what somebody else had planted. Paul called him a waterer. He watered what Paul planted. Paul was a planter. He was a seed sower, a seed bearer, but Apollos was a waterer. He could take the truth of Paul and break it down for God's people to see in such a marvelous way. And people could say, I can see it. I can see it. Praise God for a brother Apollos. That was Apollos' ministry. But his own ministry was established, therefore, upon the same foundation of the revelation that Paul set. Is it true? Therefore, there was no opposition, no conflict, but oneness, unity. And talking of Timothy, he was a convert of Paul. I take you to Titus, the evangelist. He was a convert of Paul. I take you even to Barnabas, who was also an apostle. His apostolic ministry in Revelation was founded upon the truth that Paul set. Then I say, if in the early church, the ministry to the Gentiles were all influenced and established upon the foundation of truth that a man established, which foundation of truth is the foundation of the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, will you kill me for trying to set before you the same foundation? Would you accuse me of heresy? Then I ask you, why did God send a prophet to restore? What is restoration about? Is it not so that we can be brought back to what God established in the early church? That it may be one church, one Lord, one faith, that the church he would harvest at harvest time will not be different from what he planted, a planting season in the early church. That is why it was important that God should raise up a prophet to this age, William Branham. Who is the star messenger to this age? He will sit in the seat of and in the shoes of John the Baptist, who established something, a forerunner. But don't forget the ministry of Christ was carried on in the Ephesian ministry. Is that right? But as God raised Brother Branham up in this same time, as a star messenger, to restore truth, God raised up an apostolic ministry as a starting point of the fivefold ministry. It is the beginning point that is the foundation layer. And I have to say tonight, when God has set in place his apostolic office, it is set to bear the continuity revelation of Jesus Christ to the saints, to give God's people an understanding of the truth of Christ, that the Bible will not be a closed book, but an open book, that we will have an understanding of the truths of the Bible, which is the truth of Jesus Christ, whether as to mysteries, or doctrines, or prophecies, whatever prophetic insight we have tonight. All the glory is God's, but thank God for the vessel he used. No man ministered to the early church, but that which was founded upon the same foundation, and it's going to be the same today. Because for the past 40-something, almost 40 years, God has sent a voice throughout the earth, and that voice is carried in a magazine called The Contender. It's been an influence to everybody. I have to say, there will be no man that will minister to the bride of Jesus Christ at this last move for perfection, who is not founded upon the same foundation of truth that the apostolic ministry tonight has established. No man. I don't care how God called you. I don't care how many angels you saw. I don't care that the pillar of fire appeared to you. I don't care your testimony. And I don't care how young or how old you are. If you are not founded and established upon the apostolic foundation, you are not going to minister to the bride. Because you'll be a troublemaker. And you'll be a stumbling block. And when a man becomes a stumbling block, a clog in the wheel of progress, you become a dead weight. And any captain of a ship has enough sense to know when he has a dead weight on the ship. He must throw it off. It must go overboard. And remember this, I call nobody in and I take nobody out. But the attitude of men is what is either going to make God establish them or eliminate them. A man eliminates himself when he will not follow the pattern God has established and humble himself to the revelation and the dealership of the Spirit of Truth. Don't forget that. And that's hard to say. The ministry will walk in revelatory harmony. You know why? Because they are planted upon the same foundation of faith. We are talking about the foundation of the fivefold ministry. Paul established it. And every man sent to the Gentiles had his ministry planted upon the same foundation. He was given the same understanding. Paul said that. And his ministry was raised up in defense of the same truth. And he was called to use the same truth to dress the bride, in whatever measure God has given it to him. And all of them worked in perfect harmony. And that's how it's going to wind up. That's why I had to say yesterday night, there will be no Lone Ranger ministry. There will be no Lone Ranger ministry. We will all walk in harmony. The ministry of the bride in their walking will synchronize in order to give the bride a direction and a true understanding and a focus and to bring about unity of faith. It has always taken the apostolic revelation and it has always been the apostolic foundation. So I have to say, men will not have a testimony tonight that stops with their knowing the prophet, because it will have to be brought up to date, because God has moved on beyond the prophet. God's moved on beyond the prophet. There are men that will have a testimony, not only of the prophetic dealing they received through Brother Branham, but also of the apostolic dealing, the continuity life they have received through the apostolic ministry. Why? Because the ministry is called to dress the bride. With what? Their ideas. No. With the revelation of Jesus Christ from the scriptures which God has established at this end time. Then I ask you, how did that revelation come? God used the prophet to a measure, and for almost 40 years, God is using the apostolic ministry in the continuity of light. So I can say this tonight, church, and please listen to me. What is there for the present truth? Peter spoke about the present truth. He said, that you may be established in the present truth. Then I say, what is the present truth? The present truth is nothing other than the apostolic revelation. Because the apostolic revelation takes in all the prophet has brought, plus the 40 years revelation we've been receiving by the Spirit of Christ from the scriptures, through the apostolic ministry. And the totality of the truth is what the ministry will use to dress the bride. The bride will not be left behind as to a truth, because God gives it for each and every one. Praise the Lord. And then it means this, therefore church, every true ministry will be founded upon the same truth. They will know the truth. They will have an understanding of it, because their ministry is planted on it. They will stand in defense of the same truth, and they will use the same truth to dress the bride. Yet, brothers and sisters, that does not mean they will be copycats of each other's message. But because they have an understanding of the truth, they can bring the truth out in their own words and in their own way. One brings it from the north, another can bring it from the south. But brother, the projection will harmonize. There must be a synchronized or harmonious ministry by these men, or the bride won't know what to do. Their ministry will synchronize. Their projection will synchronize. That way we are giving the same picture. That way we are having the same understanding. There will be no confusion. Then it means you cannot pitch your tent outside of this foundation, because no other foundation exists. You get away from it, God have mercy on your soul. Because the present truth is more than what the prophet brought. The present truth constitutes all the prophet brought, plus the 40 years of continuous revelation we have received from the apostle, from the scriptures, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the ministry will know to that measure, to be able to build the bride to that measure. So, there will be no one that will be outside that foundation. That's why I said, the fivefold ministry has a foundation. And every man must understand it and respect it. It is the foundation for the fivefold ministry. It is not a ministry that is established in vacuum or that hangs in the air. It has a foundation. They are established, and they are all called upon the foundation of truth the apostolic ministry sets. And they are called in defense of the truth. It doesn't matter whether he's an evangelist, whether he's a teacher, whether he's a pastor, whether he's a prophet, or another apostle. They will be planted upon the same foundation. That's what guarantees perfect unity and synchronization of thought. This is going to make me say something. When the ministry is established upon the same foundation, Brother Hefner, and we are raised up in defense of the same truth, do you know what? The bride of Christ will not be guilty of spiritual adultery, because spiritual adultery is going on tonight. What is spiritual adultery? I will explain. Paul came and established a truth. Each man, whether Timothy, whether Titus, even John Mark, are you with me? Barnabas, Apollos, name it, brother, All of them were founded upon the same truth, and all went forth with the truth to the bride of Christ. That opened the door of the churches of God to these men. But before you know it, there were men like Alexander the Coppersmith. They had their own revelation and forgot there is only one foundation, and Alexander didn't lay it. Paul did. They forgot that there is only one foundation. And when Alexander went away in opposition, he took himself away from the only foundation that can be established and that has been established. He took himself out of the kingdom. I'll tell you this, church. The whole church went with Alexander and went against Paul, and Paul had to say, "The Lord reward him." But I'll say this, brother, the Bible says that they all went with Alexander. Paul said, "No man stood with him." But he also said, "May God not lay to their charge," because he knows they were influenced wrongly. What if in such a case you say, "Well, Sunday morning, I will go to Brother Paul's church, then Sunday night, I will go to Alexander's," because you know, we don't know. We really don't know who is right. You don't know who is right because you are not revelated. You don't know that because you are not anchored. If you can see the foundation, then you would know where you can stay, for no other foundation can be laid. Every man called into the ministry, I don't care where he is located on the earth, he will be a man established in the continuity revelation the apostolic ministry is giving us, to the measure we are given tonight. No man in the ministry will be left behind on issues of truth until he is so ignorant. You can't do that. When you see men run up and down, run from here, run to there, they are gambling. When you are a gambler, you must lose. And I can only pray, may God deliver you from that spirit. And remember this, I'm not talking to you, my precious brothers and sisters. It's because it's going on tape, and some of the opposition may hear it. So, I'm talking to them. You know what? You cannot gamble. When you run from place to place, not being certain of truth, it constitutes spiritual adultery. It's called spiritual prostitution. You cannot feed from the table of righteousness and from the table of the enemy. You cannot. It would be spiritual harlotry if you do. You cannot be a spiritual harlot. You will kill yourself. And God hates idolatry, and he hates spiritual prostitution. A harlot is a person who is not faithful. With him or her, every ministry is okay. Are you with me? Every ministry is okay to a spiritual harlot. There is nothing wrong in me going down to Brother Alexander. Well, God uses him too. He's a lovely man. God sees my heart. Yeah, he sees your adultery too. And here they go to Alexander today, tomorrow they go to Paul, and they go to Alexander, and they go to Paul. You know why? They do not have revelation. A person that has revelation knows where the plumb line lays. When you are founded upon the revelation of truth, it's an anchor to the soul, steadfast and sure. The Bible says it anchors within the veil. You are yoked to Christ. There is no friend that can influence you, for you know the truth, because you can see the plan of God unveiled in the Scriptures, as it is made manifest in reality in your own day and hour. It anchors you in the Word of God. So, where will you go? You can't go anywhere else. You would be founded upon the same truth. That's the truth. You are anchored. You know there is only one foundation, and it's not the foundation of a New Testament prophet, except of course you're talking of the Old Testament prophets. But remember this, they did not lay the actual foundation, but they were the ones that prophesied of the grace to come, the dispensation to come, setting forth already a platform. For he that hath an ear to hear, that there's going to be a change of covenant. Hallelujah. And that there would be a change in ministry which God has been raising, which gave prophet after prophet, prophet after prophet. Brother, then God brought apostles, and they said, the word of the Lord only comes to prophets. That's a lie. Paul was an apostle. He was not a prophet. He said, I say this by the word of the Lord, we who are alive shall not hinder them that are asleep. And John the Beloved was not a prophet, he was an apostle. But he was caught up to the third heavens, and he came back with the last book of the Bible, a book of prophecy. If you say the word of the Lord only comes to a prophet, I will say to you, Say that to those who don't know the truth. Don't give that to the bride of Christ. What are we saying? The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of the grace to come in Christ Jesus. They prophesied of a new covenant and of a new dealership of the Spirit of God, giving accessibility to eternal life, and the apostles came and established that which had been predicted. Are you with me? That is why Ephesians verse 20 says, "We are built, the church, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." It's not the New Testament prophets, because they were not even in the picture yet. God first had to deal with the apostolic ministry. Who would be the plumb line holder and the foundation layer? And the whole church of Jesus is built and founded upon the revelation of Christ, according to Apostle Paul. I like that. The revelation of Christ according to Apostle Paul. Add that to it, because that revelation bears his name. That's why he could write to the Corinthians, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. To the Galatians, he wrote. To the Thessalonians, he wrote. To the church in Philippi, he wrote. To the Ephesians, he wrote. Why? God was using him to convey the revelation of Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ, to the Gentiles. And those truths were written that it may be the blueprint for all time, for you and I, to give us a firm basis for our faith, so that we're not tossed to and fro, and that we may know where to pitch our tent, because we know what every true ministry will have as its basis. That's why I said, and I say again, whoever and whichever ministry is not anchored in the apostolic continuity light will not minister to the bride. He may have been doing so, brother. He will eliminate himself. He must eliminate. I don't care for his testimony. It does not matter. His testimony does not matter. And it does not matter what God has been using him to accomplish all these years. You cannot, because of that, become a clog in the wheel of progress for the bride. Because you must understand what God is doing today. You must understand that. It's a serious business, and it's a serious hour. We want to go home. And God is not playing games. The men in the ministry must realize what the foundation is. That's why my message is the foundation of the fivefold ministry. God helping me, I'm going to use that as a stepping stone to continue, and I want to bring out the uniqueness of the ministry. Saints of God, you have got to understand every ministry called to the Gentiles had to have his ministry founded upon that which Paul set. And every ministry tonight at this end time that will minister to the bride has to have his own ministry established upon the apostolic continuity light that is being shared from Faith Assembly, or you will not minister to the bride of Christ. When you get out from it, you derail your own self. And if you move your church out of that fold, you move yourselves from the body and the church of the living God. God have mercy on you. That's why I said, there will be no lone ranger ministry. Every ministry will walk in synchronized harmony, upon the basis and platform of truth. We don't care how much fire and smoke you saw, and how much miracle you did. It does not matter. The ministry of the bride is not founded upon miracles, and you are not called to uphold miracles at the expense of truth. If you do, you will derail yourself. You don't believe that. Brother, the game is on. We will see. I say this not to be different or to make myself anything. I say it because it is the truth. And the only thing that can help God's people is the truth. There is nothing that can help anybody but the truth of God. And brother, let me tell you this. The ministry of the bride will be faithful to the truth they are called to defend, because they will value your souls more precious than any other thing. And that's the truth. I will close by saying this. I was sharing something yesterday night, and I took the church to the quarry site. The quarry, where stones are being built. I've been made. I had to finish my message there. Yet you know I hadn't finished, but I had to stop because there's only so much you can take, and then you can't keep the people overnight. Can you? So, I had to stop. But really, I want to use 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 7 as my springboard. Let's go there for my message tomorrow. But let me establish a foundation, and I just need your prayers. 1 Kings chapter 6, just a verse. Verse 7, and the house, that's the temple in Jerusalem, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready, stones made ready, stones made ready. before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron head in the house while it was in building. I love it thus. It's a quarry experience. The quarry experience. In the quarry, God in the Old Testament fashioned the stones that will make up the temple, the physical temple. And you know the temple in Jerusalem, set a type of the body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride of Christ, which is the church of the living God. How many understand that? That's the truth. But look at this church, because it's setting a type of something. I love types and shadows, because it gives infallible revelation. It gives a perfectness that nobody can take away from the bride, because you can see it in the Old Testament, and you can see it in the New Testament, and you know there is no way out of it. But let's look at this Bible scenario. When the temple was to be built where God put his name in Jerusalem, do you know where the New Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife, revealed in the book of Revelation 21 and 22? How many of you understand that? Where the New Jerusalem, depicted as a glorious majestic mountain, like a comet, coming out of the presence of God in the place. Brother, look at the type in 1 Kings 6-7. It was a physical temple. The Bible says, when the temple was being built, no hammer was heard, no axe, no chiseling, no noise. They just brought the stones that master craftsmen had worked upon. Masons, whatever name they are called, men who could fashion stones. I can see them hammer some. I can see them chisel some. I can see them cut some. You know, there's a saw they use in cutting stones. I could see them sanding stones. But they knew how to do it precisely and exactly. Brother, there were men that after the stones had been cut, it was their own duty to just polish them and get off the rough edges and make it so smooth. And brother, by the time it is fitted to the next one, it slots perfectly. Church, all that was setting a type of a reality you would find in the New Testament. And brother, I want to use that to type the walking and the fashioning of the ministry of the body of Christ, the fivefold ministry. Don't forget already the ministry as a foundation. That's why I said, if you do not know the foundation of the fivefold ministry, that it is the apostolic revelation. For the apostolic revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother, you are not even part. You can testify of your experiences. We are not interested in that because God has moved on beyond those years. Brother, we are tracing the reality of what God is doing today, according to the Bible, not according to men's experience. But look at these men. Let's see how God fashions them. Church, let us see how God works upon these men, and we will also see their placing. Here in a quarry, various instruments were at work. As I tried to say yesterday, I said, I believe there were engines working upon these stones, and they were bringing those stones, loads and loads of them. Those engines I can type as the Holy Spirit, the engine of God, working in the lives of these men. Only God knows what he wants out of these men. But we know that each ministry will function according to the revelation of the scriptures, because they will all minister in the light, and for the light. Are you with me? So, brother, there were men that God used to walk upon these stones in the quarry. I want to typify that as representing the apostolic ministry. In the quarry were all sorts of stones. And you know we are lively stones. How many understand that? You know we are lively stones, being fitted together by the Spirit of the Almighty God, unto a habitation that only God himself dwells in. Church, the major part, the key part, of that building is the ministry. Oh my! The major part of that building is the ministry, because they occupy a preeminent place, for example position. Church, look at these stones in the quarry. We don't know how long it took for each stone to be brought to a point where God knew. Now I can take it down to Jerusalem and put it in place, and then it slots perfectly. You won't need to tell him, no brother, you should do it like this. No. It fits perfectly. It just slots in place. Hallelujah. And you know what? We don't know how long it took, but the quarry site. I call it the quarry experience. It's been near 40 years that the ministry of today has been dealt with by the apostolic ministry, which God set in the Earth at Faith Assembly, U.S.A, to give an understanding of truth to the bride, to the measure that God has given it us per year 2004. It's now 40 years. Brother, the ministry has been dealt with in the truth. And brother, these years have been years of tutelage. And how many times I've heard Brother Jackson say, people that want to be in the ministry, you better study. You better study to know what you want to talk about. You better study because you are going to minister to the bride. And brother, the bride of Christ has been lifted up revelatory, that it will take the grace of God upon men to be able to minister to the bride. Because to start with, we all have access to the Contender magazine. We all have access to the audio tapes of Brother Jackson. We all have access to his videos. Hallelujah. So it means this fact will drag the ministry to their knees to say, oh Lord, help me if I'm going to make a difference, if I'm going to be a blessing to these people, if I'm going to touch them to affect them positively, then God, you have got to help me. I have to look to you, God. And those quarry years, the quarry experience, typify the near 40 years that God has been molding and fashioning men that He is going to use majorly in that building to bring that building to the height He wants. It's a quarry experience. It's the years whereby God has been dealing with men in revelation, bringing forth the truth through the apostolic ministry. That is why each man will be founded upon the same truth. And there is no man who will minister to the bride who is not founded upon the same truth the apostle is giving tonight. Because it is not given for one man. It's been given for the whole bride, that together we may grow in the light of Jesus Christ, and that together we may grow in the understanding, to the measure Christ has given it by His Spirit. So it means this brother, the quarry years are years of tutelage, and the years of experience, because God is taking them through a lot of grill, taking them through the mill to give them an experience. Because what is the use of a ministry without experience? You would only talk to the people from your head and from your mouth, but in your heart, there's nothing. Your heart is empty. I used to cry in those years, why is my life so miserable? Why am I like a failure? I am a lawyer, but yet my whole life is upside down. Why is this happening to me? Why am I like this in my life? But I didn't know it was because of the ministry, for my people are poor people. And I will say, I was like a person born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And how would I have been able to minister to a people who are so poor, when I don't know what poverty is like? How would I? How could I really truly bear their burden? How would I know, if I have never been there? When you've not been there, you don't know how it feels. I said, until you're there, you don't know how it feels. And when a man says, I understand how it feels, when he has not been there, then he does not understand. If you have not lost a wife, you do not know how it feels. You can only imagine it. I just use that for an example. Because there are men that God will put through the school of experience, that is training. It's a school of trials and tests, knocks and bangs, and God is watching them for one thing, faithfulness. It takes all those years. And in all those years they can testify, God called me. No doubt God did, but it's all proven years. At the end, what did you do? That is what matters. And what are you doing with the calling now? What are you doing with it, in the light of the reality of the scriptures? What are you doing with it? Because you can't pitch your tent outside of what God is doing in the light of the scriptures. It won't work. And you can't move yourself outside of the apostolic foundation. You just defeated yourself. So the quarry site is an experience that God gives the ministry, as He deals with them in trials and tests, to teach them something, to give them an understanding of something, and also as years of schooling in the light of truth, as they are all feeding from the same table, not spiritual fornicators who eat on every table. That's why some, they believe, oh you know, Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, Brother Amos, some say I'm of Paul. Some say I'm of Apollos. Paul said, ye are carnal. Brother Remus, I think, you are being carnal by identifying yourself with Raymond Jackson. You shouldn't take sides. You're just like the Corinthians. That's not what Paul said. You know that. Paul said what he said upon the basis of truth, because he didn't want the people to be picking and choosing in the true ministry. He didn't want them to look down on any ministry in form camps, because all those ministries were all founded and established upon the same foundation of faith of Paul. If Apollos was not founded upon the same foundation of truth Paul set, Paul would have written to the Corinthians, "Throw him out." Can I hear amen for that? He would have told them, "Throw him out, who is troubling you? I wish to God they're cut off, whoever they may be." So Paul could write that to the Corinthians because Apollos himself had his ministry in the light he, Paul, established, and he, Apollos, was raised up in defense of the same truth. So why pick and choose, when they're all standing together for the same truth? So there is a basis for the statement. Let me wrap up now. I appreciate your patience, and I thank you for listening to me. But you know what? There will be no true ministry that will be guilty of spiritual adultery. That is why this near 40 years has been a period of time God is giving men an experience, an understanding, a training, and a tutelage in the light, so that we would know what the mind of God is, so that we will understand how to please our God, and we will know what work is to be done. We would know what we're to do, and how God expects us to do it. We would know what our place is, and our place is in harmonious walking, that our ministry will synchronize and must synchronize. That's why I said yesterday night, "Brother Hefner, gone are the days when men will come to convention. A brother brings his message from this way, another brings it from this way, and they all harmonize. But when it's Brother Amos' turn, I just throw it out of joint, or I take everything and throw it in the air. Gone are those days." It will not be. Those days are over. Because when that happens, you're a clog if you do so. I will be a clog if I do so. And if I'm a clog, I'm a dead weight. God will allow that to go so far, and he will just take Amos and throw him overboard. That's the truth. God is not a respecter of persons. I say that in love but sincerely, because it is the truth. There will be a synchronized walking of the ministry, and a synchronized ministry he, God, will have. And this is a day that they will speak with one voice. This is a day that the watchmen will lift up their voice together. Why? They have been through the quarry experience, through the same quarry experience, giving them an understanding of what God wants. And by the time God finishes with them, and we are at the threshold of it all, brother, already God is beginning to put men together. Church, when he begins to bring them forth, they are men you've never seen. They are men you don't know, because the body of Christ is universal. Are you with me? I said they are men you don't know yet, but brother, God will bring them forth. They are men you've never seen, but God will bring them forth. They are men true in whatever place they are, and they have been through the same experience. When the hour comes, one by one, here come the prophets, here come the evangelists, here come the teachers, here come the pastors, here come the apostles, because apostles are going to come. Here they come. Brother and church, all the confusion, all the noise, and all the trouble was in the quarry experience. That's why we've been having trouble, Brother David. It's all quarry experience, where this person doesn't see that, and that person doesn't see this. This stone, this minister, cries, "Oh, don't chisel me too much. Oh, I don't want to take that. Oh, you hammered my hair too much." It's a quarry experience. Praise the Lord. You were hard on me, Brother Hefner. I can't take that. No, no, no. If the stone will not yield in the quarry, you know it is not coming to the temple. If the stone will not yield, because we're clay in the hands of the Almighty God, the Master Potter, if we will not yield to God's dealing, we will not be in the temple. But brothers and sisters, that's why I said, and I will close by saying it again. I said, the confusion, the noise, everything, all the trouble is in the quarry site. When all that noise is over, because God has finished with the pieces who yield in his hand, and he knows, now this is okay, he will pick that. What is he going to do? He is going to put it in the body, in the temple. You stay there. That's an apostle. He'll pick another one. It fits precisely, exactly. Brother, As God begins to put them together, there is no more noise. There's peace like a river. There is a unity. There is a harmonious walking. There is a love that binds them. No one is fighting for preeminence. Each one values the grace of God upon the other brother and appreciates whatever little portion God gives him. He is thankful that God wants to use even him in this work, and he'll say, "Lord, I bless you." They are so content, Brother Hefner. They are so content, so happy to be used in whatever way, and they just want to do it perfectly. Why? Because there is no noise when the temple is being built. I say there is no infighting. No infighting. No. No struggling. I want to be the head. I want to be. No. 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 When the temple is being built, there is no fighting. No struggling. There is peace. There is harmony. There is a singleness of vision, a singleness of purpose, and a synchronization of purpose, and a synchronization of efforts. Praise God. You will see the ministry work like you've never seen before, and grace will be upon it. And grace will not only be upon it, but grace will be upon the body of Christ, and the Spirit will move like you've never seen, and you will see God use men like you've never seen before. Brother, the best is yet to come. We are at the threshold of something. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody shift you from this foundation. If you can see, if you can see, if only you can see, stay in the light. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Amos prayed, then a message in tongues was given by a sister and interpreted by the late Brother David Bromley, which goes thus: "Rejoice, my children, for I say that I have caused my words to be spoken here tonight. I have anointed the lips of my servant, that he might bring forth the truth. For I say that you are living in days that you will see these things happen, when unity shall come to the body of people that I have called by my name, to be in my perfect will. Little ones, this is a day when Satan will desire to come and cause confusion. But I say I am walking on a body. I am causing a people to see truth as they have never seen it before. I will raise them up and show them that they are full of life and truth. I will show the world that they are my people, even before they are taken, saith the Lord." May the Lord bless you. Amen.